From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this news update. A $250,000 study looking for ways to wean the Alaska Marine Highway System from state support is finally out. Governor Mike Dunleavy has floated the idea of privatizing the system. But as Coast Alaska's Jacob Bresnik reports, the hired consultants have concluded that isn't feasible.
The Dunleavy administration commissioned the report last spring and received it in the fall. But the state wouldn't release it until Wednesday's Marine Transportation Advisory Board meeting. That didn't sit well with MTAB's newest board member, former Governor Frank Murkowski, who was himself appointed by Dunleavy.
I understand the administration has had the report for some time and chosen not to issue it. If you're an advisor, you need the information before you can hold a meeting that's meaningful, such as this.
A team from Northern Economics, the company that drafted the report, looked at 11 different scenarios, five of which involved some degree of privatization. Others looked at transferring responsibilities to new local agencies that would run regional routes. While not explicitly stated, the Anchorage firm was tasked to see what kind of service it could deliver for $24 million a year. That's the ferry subsidy Dunleavy proposed last year, which was only enough for a few months of operations. The consultant's answer was not much. Its best scenario was splitting the Alaska Marine Highway System into two regional public entities. Fares would go up 25%, wages would fall nearly 9%, and there'd also be deep cuts to service. No more stops at the Canadian port of Prince Rupert, and Prince William Sound, Homer, and Kodiak Island would also get no winter ferries. But the economic team concluded that cutting the ferry subsidy to the governor's magic number of $24 million would be, in their words, extremely difficult. That is, if the system would continue a minimum level of service to coastal communities. Of course, the governor's $24 million ferry budget wasn't to be. A legislative compromise last year approved a $46 million subsidy. Even so, the Marine Highways General Manager, John Falvey, told the advisory board, it's been hard to keep the system afloat.
You know, what's happened with the cut has been so massive, it's very challenging. Like Mary said, it's been very, very challenging.
He added that four ferries are now laid up, either waiting to be sold off or in need of expensive overhaul and offline. Pelican Mayor Walt Weller says his Chichagof Island community has been virtually cut off. It's turned to fishing boats and occasional float planes to deliver groceries and other supplies. And he says residents are extremely concerned.
And I don't know what to tell them. They feel they've been cut off and abandoned by the state.
The report also looked at the advantages of transforming the ferry system into a public corporation. That's been a central aim of the Alaska Marine Highway Reform Project. Advocates of that effort want to insulate the ferry system from political meddling. As governors change every 4 or 8 years, so do priorities, making long-term planning difficult. The consultants also suggested renegotiating labor contracts to cut wages, but they acknowledged this could be difficult without legislative action. The consultants poured cold water on privatization. That's because few of the routes break even. It found the most profitable one is the 45-minute trip between Ketchikan and Metlakatla. Even that would require a $370,000 subsidy. No significant changes are planned for this year. The governor has proposed flat funding to the Marine Highway. Any big reforms would need to be approved by lawmakers for 2021. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
And in other news, high winds caused closures and flight cancellations in Juneau today. The National Weather Service extended a high wind warning until 5 a.m. on Friday. The agency reported gusts of more than 100 miles per hour in downtown Juneau this morning. The wind caused multiple flight cancellations. Alaska Airlines spokesman Tim Thompson says 9 Alaska flights were canceled in and out of Juneau earlier in the day. He says conditions have appeared to improve later in the afternoon.
Everything that is scheduled to arrive and depart is on time. But again, you know, we always advise people check the app, check the website, or just call customer service if there's any questions.
Eagle Crest Ski Area closed for the day due to the wind. It plans to reopen on Friday. Despite reports of downed trees and blowing debris on social media, Capital City Fire and Rescue Chief Rich Etheridge says they haven't received many calls for wind-related issues.
And our other big call for this time of year is frostbite and cold injuries with people that are outdoors, either recreating or homeless that don't have shelter from the wind. High winds can cause cold injuries pretty quickly.
The city canceled the Visitor Industry Task Force public testimony scheduled for this evening. It will be rescheduled for a future date. School is out in the coastal community of Hooper Bay in western Alaska after extreme cold weather in December caused a pipe to burst. It flooded the school. Students were supposed to return January 5th, but Lower Yukon School District officials say that can't happen until the school is repaired. They're hoping to have the school reopen by January 27th. From KTOO in Juneau, Rasha McChesney has more on that story.
There's a movie floating around on social media. It's a cell phone video and still images shot by people walking through the Hooper Bay School in December. Several inches of water pour down the stairs. The lights are flickering or fully out in the hallways. Chunks of ceiling tiles float along the floor. At one point, a man opens a classroom door. At least a foot of water, books, and paper plates stream out.
We had a significant break in a fire suppression water line.
That's Lower Yukon School District Superintendent Hannibal Anderson. He says the damage is extensive, but the district is hoping to have the school reopened by the end of January. He says the plan is to extend the school days when class is back in session to make up for all the time off. But that means that right now, the teachers and staff who would normally be working aren't. Anderson says the teachers will continue to be paid on their normal schedule, but it could pose a problem for certain staff who are paid hourly. But Hooper Bay School Principal David Harris says all of the staff, about 20 of them, who could have been out of work, have instead taken jobs cleaning up the school. He says it's hard work.
We're a two-story building, and I have 50-year-old women going up and down these stairs. And I don't know about what kind of shape you're in, but I know I get tired just looking at them.
He says it's been a community effort to get the school gutted, fixed, and reopened. The school's cook is making meals during the day.
Well, Sunday they made a turkey dinner for all the workers. I think today, I think he's doing moose today, a moose dinner. I had a lot of Papa Murphy's pizzas in my freezer, so we were able to feed them Papa Murphy's pizza, which is always a big hit out here.
It has already cost the school money to be closed. A basketball tournament that was scheduled in January had to be canceled. That's how the kids raise money, selling tickets and things from their school store.
That's a financial hit we're taking, probably about $12,000 to $15,000.
There's another large tournament coming up, the Bering Sea Classic. They've rescheduled it for February 5th, but Harris says he hasn't been able to confirm that any of the other schools are still coming.
You might want to put a little note in your story that the principal would love to talk to any coaches in Alaska who would like to send their teams out here. We would love for them to come to fill out our bracket.
And what are all those kids doing while the school is closed? Harris says it's a big part of their lives.
In village life, the school is the epicenter. We provide, you know, the daily routine of going to school. We provide open gym for the kids to come play ball on the weekends. These kids, they don't have movie theaters. They don't have bowling alleys. They don't have shopping malls.
From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
And among the bills already filed for the upcoming legislative session is one that would offer relief from a new state registration requirement for owners of commercial fishing boats. In 2018, the legislature approved an expansion and rewrite of the state's Derelict Vessel Act. Among other measures, it expanded the boats that are now required to register with the state, including those already documented with the U.S. Coast Guard. The 2018 law was pushed by the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators and was meant to increase means to track ownership and responsibility for expensive cleanups of abandoned boats. The change caught fishing boat owners by surprise. Now, House Bill 185 by a Kodiak Republican representative would exempt boats already licensed with the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman thinks that 2018 law was a waste of time and money that he would like to repeal it entirely.
The House will send us over that piece of legislation, and maybe we'll expand it a little bit if I can convince enough of my colleagues and get rid of the whole program. It doesn't generate enough money to do anything of any significance dealing with derelict vessels.
Petersburg's Borough Assembly and the Harbor Masters Association passed resolutions in support of that update to exempt those boats licensed for commercial fishing. And just a quick reminder, there is a high wind warning in effect until 5 a.m. tomorrow. And taking a quick look at the weather for the rest of tonight, partly cloudy and lows around 5. For Friday, partly cloudy and highs around 15. And for Friday night, mostly clear and lows around 10. And for Saturday, clouds and warming up a little bit, highs to 20. You're listening to KTOO.